The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Monday again. Always happens after Sunday. Here's the deal. I don't think, as I look back on American history, that this country has ever been more deeply divided. I guess that's a pleasant way to phrase fractured, right down the middle. It's not going to heal. There will be no healing. In traditional political elections, there's usually a quote, healing period afterwards, and people get used to it, get over it, and okay, let's do the best with what we have. It isn't happening now. If you look at the top of the homepage at Rents, your website, I think you'll see some stories about Barack Hussein Obama, the Marxist communist raised by his real father, Frank Marshall Davis, for about 7 or 8 years, certainly in a mentor sense, and was thoroughly schooled in communism. Read the stories up there. But I want to go back to the first issue, and we certainly are in grievous times when it turns out that you look at Ukraine and North Korea and China and other issues that could manifest as thermonuclear war. Yes, we have big problems. However, it is my opinion, professed and otherwise, that we are facing the biggest crisis in terms of immigration. No, I'm not even talking about Latinos, Hispanics, so-called Catholics who are coming up here by the millions and millions and have been for years. I'm talking about the Islamists that are being brought into this country and were brought in by Barack Obama for years. Now, if Donald Trump can get his 7-country travel ban in place, which is not looking very likely, at least not anytime soon, and it ought to be at least 9 countries, Saudi Arabia and Pakistan should certainly be in that flock, we will be able to at least temporarily stop the end of America. What does he mean, the end of America? You are bringing in here, whenever you bring in, I'm talking collectively, Muslims, Islamists, people who believe in a bogus religion. It's a fraud. 1,400 years of fraud, and then some. It is a religion that is actually a death and sex cult. You don't believe? You die. Says who? Muhammad. Where's that? The Quran. Who believes it? 99% of all Muslims. Look at the news. Have you happened to catch any of the beheadings going on? They're not just being done by ISIS, by the way. Christians being killed. It's been going on for almost 1,500 years now. Look at Europe. Sweden is dead. It is dismembered. It is destroyed. Norway, Oslo, given up officially and formally by the police, in conversation at least, as being a lost world capital city. The Muslims now control Oslo. Now, the dink from Cabin Creek, George W. Bush, came forth and issued several pronouncements here, taking obvious swipes at Donald Trump and immigration control. George W. Bush is urging, I won't spend too much time on this, we got a guest standing by here, but Bush is urging what he calls, this guy is such a jerk, a welcoming immigration policy. Former President George W. Bush offered what appeared to be a thinly veiled critique, and wasn't veiled at all, of his Republican successor on Monday as he defended the importance of the media, oh really, and immigration policies that are, quote, welcoming. Both issues, in reality, completely indefensible under any circumstance. Period. I am for an immigration policy that's welcoming and upholds the law. Welcoming. Welcome those Islamists in here. Welcome those Muslims who, when their little girls are 5, 6 years old, their sexuality is cut out of their bodies. They're made to sleep on the floor. They're treated like garbage. These are wonderful people. You know the drill by now, pretty much. Here's the quote, though, that you want to pay real close attention to. I consider the media to be indispensable to democracy, said Bush, that we need an independent media to hold people like me to account. Am I laughing? Yes, I'm laughing. Power can be very addictive, and it can be corrosive. Well, thank you, W. But here is the final note. This is the big quote. I think it's very important for all of us to recognize one of our great strengths is for people to be able to worship the way they want to, or not worship at all, Bush said. A bedrock of our freedom is the right to worship freely. Oh, is it, Georgie? Is it okay to worship a so-called religion that calls for the death, the beheading of you, your family? Of course, they couldn't catch you. You'll be in your underground bunker. But how about all the rest of us? How about rapes used as a weapon of war, which is what is going on in Europe right now? You rape a culture long enough, and it doesn't take long, and that culture begins to break down. It loses its soul. It disintegrates. And that's what these alleged people do. The stories are endless. I will stop at that point and welcome back Robert Steele to the program. Robert has made an enormous impact on the internet since he first appeared. He is doing us all a favor, typing at the same time he'll be talking here and staying up past his bedtime. Welcome back, Robert.
All right, Jeff. Yes, it is past my bedtime.
We thank you. I won't ask you again, unless there's an emergency.
For an emergency, I'll always come back for you, but I really need my 11 hours sleep, and I'm on the East Coast. Anyway, let's just talk about the fact that we don't have a functioning democracy, and we don't have a free press. George Bush is probably a pedophile, and he's certainly one of the most corrupt people on the planet. He was present at JFK's assassination. He was a party to the assassination of JFK.
As a little boy, a teener, Daddy Bucks took him to Dealey Plaza so he could witness history. That's the kind of perverse, disgusting, nightmarish people these people are. Now, I'm glad you brought that up. But let me go back to this issue of Islam. Look, I do believe, of course, as any good American or good human being does, that everybody should be able to bow and scrape and honor and believe in whatever philosophy they want, except in this case. This is a philosophy, if it is a philosophy, it's a dictate of death. We're to die, Robert. You and I are we either convert or
Jeff,
we die.
Let me just stop you and say a couple of things. Number one, I think you're exaggerating a lot on Islam. However, your core point is really, really important, which is that Congress, the two-party tyranny, has basically destroyed our nation by essentially accepting anybody. And this happened under both parties, and it happened when we changed our immigration policy from high-value immigrants with skills to reuniting families, which is code for the Democrats bringing in more Latinos and more Asians in order to get lower-income people who the Democrats thought would vote Democratic once they were in.
Right.
I am very happy that Donald Trump is bringing back nationalism. I think it's the wave of the future, and we need to restructure our country, and we also need to deport all of the people that Barack Obama brought in. Many of them flown into the country in the middle of the night, given bus tickets, and kind of released into the wild.
Oh, they've been seeded. No, it's worse than that. Robert, they've been carefully seeded in small American cities overnight. People wake up and, who the hell are these people? They've been seeded all over the country. This is a diabolically evil plan to destroy our nation. Nationalism? Absolutely. Nationalism is what globalism is trying to destroy. That defines the issue as black and white as you can get it. Nationalism, they want it gone. That's what happened to Europe. Now, I have to most respectfully disagree with you. Yes, there are exceptions. Yes, there are, of course, Muslims who have given up the bullshit and the death and all that. However, if you talk to any who are honest, or if you talk to anyone living in Germany, Sweden, talk to Dr. Leonard Coldwell. I'm not exaggerating anything. What's going on in Europe is exactly as I have said. And if you
I have to tell you, I have been in both Stockholm and Oslo recently, and it's not quite as bad as you say. Now in Malmo, it's very bad. Malmo is down in the south.
The police have given it up, so I got the story up there.
Yeah, I know that, Jeff. But again, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be a party to exaggeration.
All right, well, I'm not exaggerating, but that's our difference of opinion, and we have it. That's fine.
There are police that are very distressed, and they're absolutely right, because it's politically correct now to not report rapes by Muslims, particularly Afghans.
How outrageous does it get? You know, a million rapes in England last year, in 1 year? A million?
I understand that, and let me say that I would add the United Kingdom to our list of blocked countries, in the sense that the United Kingdom has been giving away its passports like candy. And so, in my view, we should add the United Kingdom to the list with the following caveat. Anybody who is not born in the United Kingdom, who has received a United Kingdom passport, who is from one of the seven countries plus Saudi Arabia and Pakistan, should be suspect.
We're on the same page. It's no problem. All right.
No, absolutely. There's a lot that we agree on, Jeff, but I have to tell you, I was in Oslo recently. Oslo's not a problem. It's more certain specific areas like Malmo. For example, Donald Trump was absolutely right. What happened in Malmo was that an electrical services company about 2 weeks ago announced that it would no longer take on new customers because all the new customers were in Islamic-controlled areas that were unsafe for their service providers.
No go.
Exactly, a no-go area.
No, I understand. All right, this is an issue that is, unfortunately, whether I'm right or wrong, going to get worse, a lot worse, before it ever gets better, if it can. These people will never assimilate into any culture, any country that they are injected to or otherwise can escape to. And I don't believe that they are political refugees in most cases.
At a meta level, I would agree with you, and I would remind your listeners that the Spanish eventually had to expel both Jews and Muslims because they would not assimilate.
That's right.
That was the great expulsion back in the 14th, 15th century, whatever. Assimilation is the essence of whether or not someone should be welcomed.
If they come in here, Robert, excuse me, if they come in here, they being Islamists, men, women, I don't care, and they agree to take an oath to the American Constitution and put in that oath, it has to say out loud, that they renounce Sharia law as the supreme law of the land. Then we have an issue that we can sit down and talk about with, in terms of letting some of these people in here. They're not going to do that. You know it and I know it. There's not only peer pressure, but there's worldwide Islamic pressure on them. 2.2 billion people. They don't back down from this. They never have.
So why don't we talk about whether Donald Trump is going to survive or not?
We're getting there. In fact, let's do it right now. Donald Trump, still surrounded by the Praetorian Guard of traitors and treasonists that I'm not sure Donald even still sees clearly. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question because I really am concerned. I mean, his announced remarks for Congress are absolute crap. Wow. They're worthless platitudes.
Tell me a couple. I'm not up on that yet.
It is not even worth repeating. I literally deleted the message. It's all platitudes.
All right.
What Donald Trump has failed to do is understand that he has to unify the country, and he has to do it in a tangible way with the Electoral Reform Act. In fact, there's a White House petition right now, and what we're discovering, and I've got a very clever citizen who's been taking screenshots, across all petitions, not just the petition to have a meeting with Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich and Cynthia McKinney and me, but across all petitions, the White House website, which was set up under Barack Obama, is only counting one out of every four votes. It's absolutely astonishing.
You got that secured? It is 25% they're counting, that's it?
It's between 1 and 3 and 1 and 4. We've got screenshots showing votes ramping up and then all of a sudden 25 votes at a time disappear, or 12 at a time. It seems to be in multiples of 4, 8, 12, 16, up to 24.
It's called an algorithm, easy.
Yeah. Well, bottom line is the site is corrupt. But I'm really concerned about Trump because today he announced that he is increasing the military budget, which is the absolute stupidest thing.
$58 billion, ladies and gentlemen, 10% increase.
Well, yeah, but it's a 10% increase on an organization that cannot fight and win wars, that's documented at 50% waste, and that absolutely has the most dishonest officer corps in American history.
Well, they've been constructing that for about 20, 25 years now.
I agree completely. Yeah. And let me say that we need a strong military, but we need one that has a 3 million soldier army based at home, not overseas.
Thank you.
No contractors.
Totally agree.
We should close all our bases overseas. We should get out of NATO. Part of the problem here, I think, is Trump has a really crummy staff, and he's not getting the deliberative information that he needs.
That was a very kind assessment, by the way.
No, you're absolutely right. I think McMaster, who's a never-Trumper,
unreal,
should be fired. I mean, this is Trump made a mistake. He's making too many mistakes, and
who's
that
he
really
listening
troubles
to? That's the question. He's picking people that are almost antithetical to some of his core beliefs.
I agree with you completely. And he's waffling. He's not sticking with his gut instincts, which were correct. Let me also point out to your listeners that the military today consumes 60% of the disposable budget and 16% of the total budget. And yet, 2/3 of the Navy aircraft cannot fly for lack of parts or maintenance.
I hope all of you heard that. That's a fact. 2/3, over 50%, 2/3 of the Navy aircraft, frontline Navy planes, F-18s, F-60, they can't fly. Parts. Can't fly.
And then well, they got what can I do trillion. For you? What's the most helpful discussion you and I could have right
well,
now?
Well, I think we should pursue this issue of how Trump got into this dilemma, how he was somehow conned, pressured, or forced into selecting people to advise him, insulate him, take care of him, give him the right data, who are not following the Trump doctrine. They're almost autonomous. You got Jerry Kushner. You got these people, right? I don't know what Rex is going to turn out to be, but they're almost running their things autonomously. Trump's international posture has not been solid. As you know,
you're absolutely right. And I am a fan of both Tillerson and Mattis, but what Trump has failed to do is actually devise a grand strategy and devise what we call a commander's intent. which is for each cabinet, he should have roughly seven things that he wants to accomplish in his term, which at this point, I don't think Trump will finish out his term. But what has happened is that Mattis and Pence and Tillerson, among others, have gone overseas and said exactly the opposite of what Donald Trump promised on his campaign.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. This on the international stage, this must look weird to see such
well,
a disjointed
thing. Well, people are betting that Trump is going to resign. People are betting that Trump is not going to last through this summer.
You're hearing that? That's interesting. I've been thinking about that. Well, tell me more that people are suggesting he's going to just walk.
Well, Jeff, I've published at Phi Beta Iota .net, I've published a special on four tracks that are being organized to destroy Donald Trump in the next 90 to 180 days. Now, track number one is Eric Schmidt's RICO-like, racketeering-like conspiracy. Eric Schmidt has been designing this for a long time. And what we saw with Google taking down Alex Jones through its surrogate ad roll, and Google taking down Natural News, and there are a number of Trump sites and Trump supporters that are basically being digitally assassinated. This is how Schmidt is preparing to control the narrative when Donald Trump is impeached or when the violent spring takes place. And they're basically setting it up so that people can be lied to and those of us who are the alternative skeptical views will not be heard. So track one is censorship by the social media mandarins who have always been in bed with the Clintons and Soros. Track two, which I warned Trump about in my memo, which has, by the way, been read by a million people.
I remember putting it up, and it was an awesome thing to ponder at the time. And
well, I bless you, sir, for that. It's the best I can do as a patriot to try and help Trump. I mean, I can lead Trump to water. I can't make him drink. And what I'm hearing is that Steve Bannon is telling Trump he doesn't need help, which is totally wrong. Uh-oh. But track two is the violent American spring. George Soros has spent over $50 million, and I think it's closer to $100 million when you add other sources, getting ready to roll out. If you all remember Berkeley a few weeks ago, I think we're going to see 1,000 Berkeleys across the United States. And I really want to emphasize that the governors are not Donald Trump's friend. They are part of the two-party tyranny, part of the establishment. They are going to hold law enforcement back and allow track two, the violent American spring, to proceed. Track three is impeachment or resignation. And the mainstream media is in partnership with both the Republicans and the Democrats. And finally, track four is a deliberate economic collapse. David Stockman and Paul Craig Roberts and others have written very brilliantly about this.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's take a break. I've got Stockman up there again. I've repeated it on the main page because it is so important. And you are completely right on that. Stand by. We'll be right back with Robert Steele in just a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Robert. Now, you said something that is extremely important, and I don't know that a lot of listeners are aware of it. I think most are. But some of the key people, especially Pence, that guy gets to me, have gone overseas and said things that are exactly the opposite of what Trump has pronounced are going to be his policies. How do you think these things are dealt with when he runs into these people back in the Oval Office or wherever he runs into them? How do they get these things ironed out? These are diametrically opposed statements that are being made. You're quite right. How does Trump feel about this? That's the question. I can't ask you to answer it, but how does he feel when Pence goes abroad and says the opposite of what he's saying? How does he feel?
What I'm seeing is a total lack of discipline, and it's possibly because Trump has not had a grand strategy summit. He has not given a written document, a commander's intent to each of these cabinet secretaries. I mean, he's just completely avoiding all the fundamentals. He's winging it. He's not a loose cannon. He's a very smart, well-intentioned man, and I think he still has the potential to be the greatest president in American history.
But it's too big. It's too big. Robert, it's too big. It's much bigger than running a family business.
Well, it's not too big if you've got a good staff. He doesn't have a good staff.
No. And we haven't seen the name Priebus really prominently in the media now since I think we last talked or close to it. I think he's taken the low road for a bit.
I'm told that the decision has been made to fire Priebus, but he's waiting for the right moment. And I agree with that, because when Priebus is fired, he needs to bring in a heavy hitter like David Stockman. At the same time, he needs to fire McMaster and create a senior clerk position, a national strategy coordinator. Nobody should be telling Tillerson and Mattison what to do except for the president. He just does not have the – I mean, for example, instead of a national security council, he needs to do whole of government. So he needs to have a poverty action officer. He needs to have a disease action officer. He needs to have people who help him orchestrate policies across all the cabinets. And he needs to have OMB start to manage. OMB has never managed in its lifetime. It just does budget share allocation. So management for me means you have to understand the true costs of everything that you're doing. I mean, he has just increased money for the most wasteful department in the government.
50%, huh? 50%.
It's insane. It's insane.
Wow. Okay. Barack Obama has quietly stepped back out of the headlines for a while. Why? What's he doing? Well, we have a pretty good guess. George Soros, Obama, certainly the Hillary Clinton and the Clinton machine, the Marxist communist crew, they are planning to overthrow, as you've said, the U.S. government, certainly the executive branch, and the country itself. You mentioned there are four issues. Well, Obama has put together an organization, a supergroup, which has now, I believe, over 250 or about 250 offices coast to coast. These are manned, committed, active offices, and they are planning. And what are they planning, Robert, for this spring in this country? That's the big question. We can make a pretty damn good guess. Mass civil insurrections, violence, arson, looting, burning, rioting, you name it. They're going to try and drive Donald Trump into despair and drive him out of office, either by resignation or impeachment.
I agree with that completely. And I would say that Obama's the least important of the subversives, in the sense that Obama's real reason for staying in Washington, I've been told, is to serve as the Rothschilds' personal representative.
Never caught him linked up with the Rothschilds so much as you're suggesting. That's interesting. Certainly Hillary was. She and Lynn Rothschild are buddies. And never forget that email.
Well, that was the whole point, is Lynn was anticipating that Hillary would win.
Right.
And in fact, there's a post at Phi Beta Iota that suggests that Lynn Rothschild may have offered Donald Trump $20 billion to throw the election. And many of us were very concerned, because every time Trump seemed to be getting ahead, he would do something outrageous.
Yeah, pretty dumb.
To fall behind.
Well, Lynn Rothschild is essentially the, what would you call her, the governor of the United States?
What I've heard is that the Rothschilds are starting to move their base from the United Kingdom to the United States.
Oh.
And Lynn Rothschild is certainly, as you know, she's the babe from New Jersey. She's not a United Kingdom person. She married Evelyn Rothschild as a young lady. So she is perhaps the human face of the Rothschilds.
How interesting that she was an American and married into the family. If this kind of a move, a transition were to take place, I'm wondering if somehow they would petition the government to grant a City of London status somewhere. In other words, an independent little sovereignty, which is...
Well, that's very clever, Jeff. I don't know. I mean, for me, the demise of the City of London and the demise of Wall Street are certain. I've been reading some very interesting stuff coming out of Russia. The foreign minister of Russia has made some extraordinary statements about a post-Western world.
And Sergei Lavrov, when did he say this, and tell me what he said?
He said it at the Munich conference, and he said basically you have to get ready for a post-Western world. I agree with that.
Wow, that's big.
Well, the West, you know, we love our country and we love what we stand for, but the fact is our country is no longer our country. It's now a very corrupt cesspool. And everything that's being done in our name is a crime against humanity. I was just reading, I have a review of three books coming out in national, what's it called, Intelligence and National Security. It's the top journal in my profession.
Uh-huh.
And I have a review coming out of three books on drone assassination.
Uh-huh.
What the United States is doing in assassinating people with drones is not only unconstitutional, because Congress hasn't declared war on anybody, but it's a crime against humanity. I mean, there are thousands of people across the United States of America that should be facing some kind of Nuremberg trial, starting with John Brennan, the CIA director.
Well, let's go back to the butchery of Iraq, 2 to 3 million people, the 15-year-long butchery of Afghanistan, undeclared wars, butchery.
All based on 935 lies led by Dick Cheney with the complicity of Colin Powell and George Tenet.
You got it. There are a lot of bad people around, and I don't. We talk about removing Trump. Nobody seems to be talking about removing these people who should, by all rights, be on trial at The Hague right now for international crimes against humanity, if there were any justice, if there were any honest. Well, there just is no accountability. We can just take that run right across the board. Everyone gets away with anything.
My focus for the next 2 weeks until I leave for Norway. Once I leave for Norway, I'm giving up on Donald Trump. I'm leaving on the 14th. Trump has until the weather gets warm to settle the country, and this forthcoming speech to Congress is a God-given opportunity for him to announce the Electoral Reform Act and tell Congress he's going to shove it up their rear end if they don't agree. Donald Trump is gifted at barnstorming.
But you say the speech is a turkey, and it's not going to do it.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, people are going to be laughing at him.
No.
And that's Miller, you know? I mean, he does not have a good staff. He's got a bunch
Miller
of
is,
people
Miller
who,
is not a visionary. He's nothing. He's just almost a low-level bureaucrat in some ways. You got Jerry Kushner.
The only thing he's got going for him is that Jeff Sessions likes him. I love Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. Well, and then you got how much of Donald Trump's time is taken in by his son-in-law, Jerry? Don't call me Jerry. Kushner. And the three grandkids. Jeez, Kushner took his daughter, turned her into a Zionist Jew, basically, gave him three Jewish grandkids. I mean, that's called control and influence on a man whose daughter, Ivanka, was the apple of his eye, still is. A very smart move, if that might have been done with intent, and I do leave that on the table, as we've talked about in the past. All right, so what is your understanding? Now, you got sources, I don't, your intelligence. What's the deal with Kushner? He's a worm. He shouldn't be in there. He's in there. What's he doing?
I don't know. I mean, in my memorandum for Trump, my memo for Trump, I say that counterintelligence is one of the priorities that he needs in order to survive. I mean, if it were me, I would be looking at every phone call and every email that Pence and Kushner and Priebus have made. And in Kushner's case, I would be going back 2 years prior to his meeting Ivanka.
We are totally in focus on that. I do believe the Israelis are brilliant. All he needed, as I've said, it was one date with Ivanka. He could have popped something in her margarita, which was full of oxytocin, full of pheromones. And the guy's, he's on his way. She falls in love. That's it. Boom. And don't think that can't happen. That's a reverse honey trap. They were only married in October of 2009. Don't think that can't happen. Now, Eric Trump also married a Jewish woman, a Jewish American. She is a TV producer. Forgot her name now. But I don't know how many kids they have, but he's kind of a he's very smart, but it looks to me like he just got, he could have been picked off too, Robert, okay? Let's just keep it simple. They just got married not long ago, 2 years ago.
I don't know. Trump needs good counterintelligence. He needs to know.
He needs you. Absolutely. Come on, you just laid it out. He needs phone records. He needs cell phone records. He needs email records of all these people around him that you mentioned. That's for openers. Come on, clean house. He's got these people right next to him, and he can't breathe. They're keeping him, I think, sequestered and insulated to the point that this duplicity that's going on with his staff, and it is duplicity, it's intolerable, and yet it's going on.
Well, let me focus on the good in all of this, because if Donald Trump self-destructs, which I would say is a 50-50 shot right now.
President
actually,
Pence.
No, 60-40 is my estimate.
Closer you get
if
to leaving on the 14th,
and he leaves office and Mike Pence comes in, I believe that all the Americans who put their faith in Trump will not support Pence. They will see that Pence is a representative of the two-party tyranny, and they will be open to what I think is emerging now. I'm hearing from a lot of people. There is a movement now to create essentially an independent demand for electoral reform and a demand for candidates for Congress who agree to not caucus with the two-party tyranny. And so I believe that, God bless him, Donald Trump has, by his accidental election, which many of the people around him aren't willing to accept was accidental, I believe he's opened a door for individual citizens to see that we have a deep state, that this deep state is managed by pedophiles, that there is a way for Americans to free themselves from the deep state. And so whether Donald Trump destructs or not, I see good things happening in 2018 and 2020. Now, let me really stress, I want to help Donald Trump be the greatest president in American history, in modern American history. He could be as great as John F. Kennedy, greater than John F. Kennedy, but not with his present staff on his present course.
Well, you just summed it up perfectly.
Yeah, I have, Jeff, and I'm really grateful to you for in many ways, the popularity that I've enjoyed on many shows began with you, and I'm thankful for that. You and Hagman Report have been the two that kind of jump-started people's hearing my voice. I've been silenced and marginalized for 30 years, and it took the election of Donald Trump to make it possible for the public to hear our voices. So no matter what happens, I'm feeling positive about America, but I would rather see Donald Trump get his act together.
First of all, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. I've kind of jump-started a lot of people over the years, and very few of them ever remember that or mention it. So it was that's a class thing to do. Thank you.
You've earned it.
Secondly, I would be standing right with you and a lot of other people if we could do what needs to be done to allow this man to achieve the greatness that we all see is there, certainly in a latent sense, at the very least. He could be a great man, not with the creeps that are around him now. No chance. This McMaster thing just floored me. What the hell is going on?
Right.
I couldn't believe that one. I don't know what you think of Rudy Giuliani, but very, very smart man, very well-spoken, clearly a Trump supporter from the beginning. He was dealt out of things. Christie, goodbye. But there are some good people out there.
One of the things I like most about Donald Trump is that he has the ability to turn on a dime. He has the ability, for example, to literally fire everybody on the National Security Council, including McMaster, and completely revisit that. He has the ability, as I recommend in my memorandum, to throw the press out of the White House and turn that press area into a Trump channel and a grand strategy room.
I've supported you from the moment I heard that, and I completely agree.
No, there's no question. I mean, one of Donald Trump's gifts is that he understands when to renegotiate. But my concern right now is that he is being played like a fiddle. Catherine Austin Fitz did a really superior interview with Greg Hunter of USA Watchdog. It's on YouTube. I strongly recommend it because she analyzes how Trump is being played like a fiddle. And he's basically being distracted by attacks on his women, and he's being misled with bad information on the military and everything else. At some point, if Donald Trump connects with people that he trusts to tell him the truth and only the truth, and I don't trust the people around him right now to do that, in part because they don't know what the truth is. They understand they're 10% of it. Bannon understands the 10% of the public that he has nursed for the last several years. Kushner understands the 10% of the Orthodox Jewish financial approach that he's been dealing with. Priebus understands how to steal elections and suck up to Republican pedophiles. But Trump doesn't have anybody that is really, really good at grand strategy and telling the truth and open source intelligence. And that's my gift. So yeah. I'm going to hope that he hears my voice and reaches out to me. But if he doesn't, it's just really great, Jeff. I mean, as a result of you and many others, I've had several job offers out of all of this.
Good.
And if Trump does not give me a chance to serve him, then I'm simply going to withdraw and be silent. And he's lost his ace in the hole.
Well, I'm not going to argue with anything you've said at all. There's no reason to, because it's the utter truth. I just don't see these people around him allowing him to have a chance. They seem to me to be Shakespearean in their treachery. They're not going to back down. I'm not sure if Trump can actually seize the moment, carpe diem, and blast them out of there, at least several of them, to open some holes in the dike around him that is preventing him from accessing that which made him really great during the candidacy. It's like he's being obscured and obfuscated by people who just aren't Americans. When you think of Priebus tied into Rat Ryan and the others, you got to puke, folks. Pence, who stabbed Trump half a dozen times now in the back, you got to puke. I don't know if Donald, in one major convulsion of true and deserved self-righteousness, will throw these people off and put some good people in around him, and I would like to see you in there, or not.
Well,
that's a big deal.
And I really want to stress the piece that I want is the Trump Channel and the Open Source Agency. I'm the only person on the planet that has spent 30 years working on that. I don't want to be a senior advisor. I don't want to be in the news. I don't want to be a decision maker. What I want to do is help Trump first bring all Americans back into the process, restore integrity to the electoral process, and then make evidence-based decisions for the government. And somewhere in there, we ought to refurbish the White House and bring it up to his standards, because I'm sure he is not a happy camper sitting around in his bathrobe in that low-rent White House.
That's an interesting statement. Elaborate on that just for 30 more seconds. People don't understand.
Trump is living in a museum that has not been maintained to his standards. I mean, he's literally living in a ghetto compared to what he's used to. Mm-hmm. He's surrounded by Secret Service guys that tell him what to do and where to go, and he doesn't understand that he can tell them to piss off. Hillary Clinton was really good at telling the Secret Service to piss off. When she wanted to go for a walk, she'd put on a scarf and sunglasses, and she'd go for a walk, and they couldn't control her.
Right.
I mean, I was furious when I saw Trump when he first arrived in Washington. They made him sit in his car for 10 minutes. I mean, I would have fired them on the spot.
Wow.
The president does not wait for anyone.
No, that's ass backwards. Yeah,
Trump is getting bad signals on just how much authority and stuff he has. And there's no reason for him not to sleep in New York every night if that's what he wants. There's no reason for him not to run the government from New York if that's what he wants. By the way, I would tell Bill Blasey to take all his people away from Trump Tower. None of that is needed. It's just the whole system's out of control. Trump really, really needs to have a few people that can help him be comfortable with all of this. But he will not be comfortable until he gets the 100% of the American people behind him. And the only way he's going to do that is with an Electoral Reform Act and a Trump channel.
No more 27%. We got to raise that way up. I really like the idea of him refurbishing, if that's the right word, the White House to standards that would not only reflect what he's used to and deserves, but all presidents actually deserve. Something like a mini St. Petersburg, Russia. not opulence in
You're
the sense.
You're a brilliant visionary.
No, I've got a vision of that, all right. Robert, thank you, my friend, very much. And we will talk again in the future. You take care of yourself. I'll keep watching for your emails.
Oh, bless you, Jeff. And thank you again for giving me my start. But I just can't stay up this late anymore. I'm an old guy.
I totally understand. All right, get to sleep, my friend.
All right, sir. Bye-bye.
Good night. Mr. Robert Steele. And the clarity from that man has only gotten sharper and sharper and sharper. The more you hear him, the more you get it. All right? He's just laid it out perfectly. There it is. Back with more after this.